I thought I had two more hours. This is ridiculous. What happened? Welcome. It's Eric Erickson. I've totally lost track of how is it? How is it the third hour already? Good grief. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I still have so much to talk about. How is it the third hour? Good Lord. Okay. Well, I hope I've kept you entertained. How about that? I've clearly entertained myself the last couple hours, and I wasn't even watching women's volleyball at the Olympics. I've already given you the phone number. We can endeavor to pursue and move forward. Can we talk about the collapse of families? There's actually some data out there, and it's funny to watch progressives laugh at the data. Paul Krugman, who has two dogs, says this is no big deal. Actually, it is a big deal, and anyone with any sort of common sense knows it's a big deal. This is from the Wall Street Journal. America's weak population growth, already held back by a decade-long fertility slump, is dropping closer to zero because of the COVID-19 pandemic. In half of all states last year, more people died than were born, up from five states in 2019. Early estimates show the total U.S. population grew 0.35% for the year ended July 1, 2020. For the year ended, I love how the year does not end July 1st, but for, I guess, the fiscal year or some such, it does. Some demographers cite an outside chance the population could shrink for the first time on record. Population growth is an important influence on the size of the labor market and a country's fiscal and economic strength. One bad year doesn't automatically spell trouble for future U.S. demographic health. What concerns demographers is that in the past, when a weak economy drove down births, it was often a temporary phenomenon that reversed. Yet after births peaked in 2007, they never rebounded from the nearly two-year recession that followed, even though Americans enjoyed a subsequent decade of economic growth. With the birth rate already drifting down, the nudge from the pandemic could result in what amounts to a scar on population growth, researchers say, which could be deeper than those left by historic periods of economic turmoil, such as the Great Depression and the stagnation and inflation of the 1970s, because it is underpinned by a shift toward lower fertility. Essentially, we don't have enough married people sleeping together and making babies. I mean, that is actually what the problem is we don't have enough baby making in this country. I know a guy, I know one guy who isn't sure if he wants to even have kids. I know another guy who is desperate to have children, and his wife isn't sure she wants to have children. I thought it was very funny. Now, this isn't a sermon. It's not me preaching. Just bear with me for one moment. God makes Adam and Eve. What does he tell them? Be fruitful and multiply. God's command is for people of faith to have families, to make babies together, to populate the planet. God wipes out all of humanity, save Noah and his kids and his wife. And they get off that boat. They've been on the boat for 40 days now. Together, no privacy. What does God tell them when they get off the boat? Go make babies, be fruitful and multiply. It is the people of faith that will save us when it comes to this, because God Almighty himself says, be fruitful and multiply. It is the wokes who now tell us that having kids is bad for us. In fact, it is the progressives in this country who tell you having children is bad for you and we're going to destroy the planet. Now I am increasingly encountering people. In fact, let me turn my recorder on for this one. This will fire up the Instagram comment. Y'all should see some of the comments when we put up clips from the show on Instagram. It is the sanest of all the social media places and still generates craziness. So God himself says, be fruitful and multiply. He told Adam and Eve that. He told Noah and his family that. He tells you that. Have babies. I am increasingly likely to encounter on a daily basis, on a near daily basis, people who are people who go to church and they say, I don't know if I want to have kids. Why? Cultural rot. or they feel like the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Why do I want to introduce children to this? You know. Listen, I don't want to be dismissive of that. Because it's you see the wokes invading schools. There is clearly a social contagion among Gen Z right now over transgenderism. You have one kid in school who decides they're transgender. Pretty soon you're going to have 30. There is clearly it's a social contagion, a moral panic, something spreading like wildfire through the minds of kids. It'll burn itself out eventually, but how many kids are going to ruin their lives in the process? You've got the growth in China. In fact, I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day who's thinking he wants to move his family out of this country, and he's very serious about it because of the cultural elite and their corruption and contamination of society. And all the places he wants to move, though, are probably going to be invaded by China in the next 5 years, so he's holding off to see if it happens. But there are a lot of people of faith out there who don't want to bring kids into a world that seems like it's lost its mind, and you've got no choice. 2,000 years ago, people who identified as Christians were being nailed to crosses or tied to crosses and then set on fire by the Romans to light the streets of Rome at night. And because the God of all creation said, be fruitful and multiply, they were not having, well, I don't know if I want to bring kids into this world. We're all being eaten by lions and burned alive on crosses to light up Rome at night for Nero. Maybe we should take a hard pass. Nope. They didn't do that. You think the world is crazy today? The world is crazy today, but the world has always been crazy. You're just more mindful of the world being crazy because you're always in the news and on social media and the like. That's the problem. The world itself is not completely genuinely insane. Now, there are a lot of insane, crazy people out there, though. But the world itself has always been a little off kilter. I mean, there's always been sin in the world. And the idea that you're a person of faith and you're going to say, well, okay, God said be fruitful and multiply, but I think I know better than him. I understand. I've got kids. There are days where I want to turn the internet off in our house. My 15-year-old, God bless her, she is up on the news. She gets the Apple News headlines, and I try to remind her that, you know, the Apple News headlines, they increasingly steer you towards progressive news. When she comes downstairs sometimes and tells me about news, I got to say, yeah, but here's the rest of the story. She's fantastic. And she's brilliant. She's a wonderful artist, and I sometimes worry about worldliness. And how it will affect her and how it will affect my son, who's 12. I worry we don't go to church enough these days with the virus and everything else. Am I going to lose my kids to the world now? You know, being a Calvinist, I can say, well, you know, it's in God's hands. God's sovereign. He takes care of this. But I get the concerns of parents who are like, I don't know that I want to bring a child into this world. But the real issue here, though, is that it's really, if you're a person of faith, it's really not your choice. You're supposed to do it. You're supposed to. You're supposed to bring children into this world. You shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. And it's very interesting to me that this doubt of wanting to bring kids into the world by people of faith because the world just seems like it's lost its ever-living mind, why would you want to raise a kid in it, is coming at the exact same time progressives are saying, you know what? None of us should have children. Children are bad. They are polluters. We should go extinct is essentially what they're claiming. They're not saying it publicly, but that's really what they're getting at is increasingly now the progressive left have decided that we are the problem. Humanity is the problem, and we should not continue to procreate, or we should do what the Chinese for a long time did and limit people to one child. The Chinese are having to reverse course because it's had disastrous consequences. But more and more, I think you're going to see environmentalists and progressives through government try to control you, which is another reason why you should go on and have kids. You want an example of this? Charlie just sent me this. Alienware, the gaming preferred desktop computer for gamers. Now, gamers, hardcore gamers, like to use PCs, desktop computers, because of, they are so loaded with Intel chips. They're very fast, the graphics cards and the like. If you're a competitive gamer, you want to use a desktop computer, a Windows computer. I love my Mac, but if you're a gamer, you want to use a Windows device. And someone on Twitter just pointed out that if you want the top-of-the-line Alienware Aurora desktop now, there's this little note on Dell's website. The Alienware was bought by Dell, and here's a little note. This product cannot be shipped to the states of California, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Vermont, or Washington due to power consumption regulations adopted by those states. Any orders placed that are bound for those states will be canceled. You want a high-end desktop computer, you can't get it in those states. California, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Vermont, or Washington, right as esports are taking off. Can't get it in those states. If your kid's into esports, they're at a competitive disadvantage in those states. And you can see where this heads now. They banned the high-end computers. Wait until they come for the air conditioner. You can have an air conditioner, just going to not be one that keeps you very cool. They've already come for your shower head. You might as well just have somebody pee on you because it's sterile and shower you off that way. You're going to get better water pressure from someone's bladder than you are from your shower head pretty soon if California has its way. I mean, they're taking away your water pressure. They want to take away your big car. You know, for the longest time, the competitive policies from these states has been to shrink the car to disincentivize families. If you want to be countercultural, you want to fight the prevailing zeitgeist of the culture, have a lot of kids. Have a lot of kids. That's the most countercultural thing you can do today. Be a committed Christian with a lot of kids. All of culture tells you not to do that. I bring that up because J.D. Vance is the populist, Trump-supporting Republican candidate in Ohio. He's running for the Senate. The Trump bros on Twitter love him. I'm intrigued by his candidacy. I'm not sold on it. But he was talking about how the childless left is going to start setting social policy in this country. And he's right. I've been saying this for a while. As the childless left grows in this country, what you're going to see is a bunch of people who no longer have kids to take care of them when they're senior citizens. They're going to reshape social policy. You're about to see, if you don't step up and have kids, you're about to see a massive reshuffling of social policies in this country, as the social policy standard bearers are a bunch of wokes who never bothered to have kids, who now need Uncle Sam's man boob to take care of them because they have no kids to take care of them. And I noted this online, and someone said, well, isn't it just funny that it's the childless left that's been championing free healthcare and free education and parental leave and the like? Well, of course the childless left does this, because the childless left thinks that Uncle Sam's man boob is the perfect substitute for a mother and a father in a two-parent nuclear household. So, of course, they're willing to degrade the family and put the government in place and make mandates so it's really easy for someone to have a kid and no other parent in the house, and make it really, really easy for both parents to get into the economy and generate money and keep up with the Joneses. It's the government not understanding the way families should work that has essentially set up policies that disincentivize having kids and incentivize the breakup of the family. You want to be counterculture to all that? You push back on it by getting married, staying married, and having a lot of kids, and having the left look at you like you're some sort of thing that belongs in a zoo. When at the end of history, you will be the ones inheriting the earth. The unknown came to the workplace in 2020, and things have changed. Everybody's looking to work out of their house, so they want a great chair. I found a great chair, the X chair. It's at the forefront of home and office settings during this transition. And X chair's newest innovation, the Elemax temperature regulation, will take your sitting comfort to a whole new level. There's a patent pending for the Elemax. It allows you to experience cooling, heating, massage in your lower back while you're working. You're feeling stressed out from the Zoom calls, the Microsoft Teams meetings? Turn on Elemax massage therapy. X chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar DVL support was already the best in class, and now you get Calamax. Imagine regulating your body temperature and getting massage therapy while you're working. It really is a fantastically comfortable, well-designed, well-put-together chair. Go to xchaireric.com right now. That's xchaireric.com or call 1-844-4XCHAIR to save $100 off your order. XChair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. Go to xchaireric.com now or use code XWHEELS for free X-Wheel blade casters. xchaireric.com. It is Eric Erickson here. Welcome. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. This hour of the program brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. If you are in charge of the spending decisions and finances of your business and you want to grow your business, need a loan, you're tired of dealing with the big banks, First Liberty wants to help you. They make their own lending decisions. We're talking big loans, six figures and higher. FirstLibertyGA.com is their website, FirstLibertyGA.com. Spend a couple minutes with them, see if you're a good fit for them and them for you, and have at it, FirstLibertyGA.com. All right, I got to go to the phones. Waiting very patiently out there is Maggie. Welcome, Maggie, to the program. If I can get you fired up. There we go, Maggie. How are you?
I'm doing well, Eric. I'm just wondering, thinking out loud, there's an increase in the COVID cases. How can that be tied to the increase of the number of illegals that have been moved into the interior of the country?
Oh, that's a great question. All over? I don't know of any data. I suspect the media would avoid the data if it were there. My gut tells me, though, just given the spread and where it's spreading, it probably is most likely not related, but I certainly think that could amplify it. And I don't know if people have seen the videos. Fox 5 LA went down to the Texas border to do an investigation and saw paramilitary style coyotes, the people funneling people across the border, bringing in illegal aliens. They saw the U.S. Border Patrol opening gates to let the illegals in. They saw U.S. Immigration Services giving the illegal aliens bus passes, putting them on buses in McAllen, Texas, to let them go wherever in the country. They weren't even documenting where the people were actually going. This is the Biden administration, and to the extent that it does amplify or expand the COVID virus spread, we got a problem, but there isn't any data on it, and so I think we got to be careful extrapolating that, in large part because I don't think we want to be the people say, well, it's the illegals who are giving us the virus. That's not really the case. Overwhelmingly, the people who are getting hospitalized are not illegal aliens, and we don't have a massive anomalous spike in illegal alien deaths in the country. So the odds are that's not the case, but they're coming over and they're not vaccinated either. And we probably want to at least make sure they get the vaccine if they're coming into the country. It's not a bad thing to consider. All right, back to the phones we go. Mark, you're going to be up next. Welcome.
Hey, yeah, thanks for your time. So I think it's actually pretty ironic, and it's actually going to backfire if everything moves forward the way it is with the left and not having kids, because all the conservatives that are having kids are going to grow up and outnumber and out-legislate. And things are going to just shift back to a conservative majority.
You know, now I realize that kids, particularly when they go through college, get indoctrinated and suddenly turn progressive. There is that danger. But yeah, you know, demographically, Mark, you make a good point that if you follow who actually is producing kids in this country, it tends to be evangelical Hispanics, non-Catholic evangelical Hispanics, typically of the charismatic variety, the Pentecostal and the like. So you're going, and they live in the South, and they love America, and you're about to undoubtedly see the norm in this country be a bunch of country music listening Hispanic Pentecostals, and they will be the ones who generate. I mean, seriously, that's what the data shows. And you know, the more committed you are to your faith, the more likely your children will also be committed to faith. So you want to keep your kids from going woke. Be committed to your church. Show your kids you love your church, and your kids will probably love it as well. And when the world comes for them, they'll have a hard time betraying the thing they love, which is you and the church. There are ways to get around it. But gosh, The number of friends of mine who have horror stories, or older friends of mine who their kids went off to college and came home suddenly worried about all sorts of nonsensical stuff and talking like they've been indoctrinated into critical race theory. It kind of scares me. You got to be careful where you send your kids to school these days. That's for sure. Because, gosh, in a lot of places, the schools really do want to break your kids' brains. It is Eric Erickson here, and I am happy to take your phone call. It is 877-973-7425. You can always go to ewerickson.com. You can find my Substack through that link. Find out about the show. You can go to social media. I'm EW Erickson everywhere. You should, if you have Instagram, be following me at EW Erickson, because that's where I like Instagram the most, because it's the least crazy social media site. We put up clips of the show, which for the longest time I was hesitant about doing because I really try to keep Instagram non-political, just where I live life, but everybody wanted clips of the show, and so I decided I would go for clips of the show. So there are clips of the show there. Now, I got to talk. Okay, gosh, where did time go? I gotta read you this, though, because this is firing things up. The Washington Post. Washington Post is doing a story on Chasen Buttigieg, a stranger in a very strange land. Chasen, this is Pete Buttigieg's spouse, put on a few pounds during quarantine. So in April, with pandemic restrictions easing and two doses of vaccine safely in his arm, he set about looking for a gym to join in the city where he's relocated after his husband, Pete, became the Secretary of Transportation. He found one on Capitol Hill that seems nice enough, he says, until one of the gym's personal trainers approached him and explained that he also worked as a lobbyist and that his boss would be upset if he didn't take the opportunity to ask Chasen to pass along some information to the secretary. I was like, well, can't go here, can't go to the lobbyist gym. He recalled, rolling his eyes, he'd been warned before the Buttigieg's moved to Washington, a friend gave them a critical piece of advice. Work is play and play is work. 6 months in, the former first man of South Bend, Indiana, can't believe how true it is. Like every time you think you're just relaxing, you're working, especially on the Hill. Cocktails, dinners, drinks, everyone says no work tonight. Then 2 minutes go by and they're talking about a pipeline or a bill or a package. The secretary's husband isn't particularly interested in talking pipelines and packages all night. He wants to dish out about the HBO comedy Hacks. Alas, he seldom sees an opening. Such is life in Washington for Chasen, who finds himself in the deep end of an education in which means to be the husband of a powerful political figure in a town of gripers, grinners, and walks. Now, hang on here. We gotta fast forward, because there's a data point here that is causing people to roll their eyes. The Buttigieg's themselves moved into an 800 square foot, one bedroom apartment near Eastern Market. We couldn't afford the one bedroom plus den, Chasen says. They chose the high end building because of its location and the security it offered. The couple has faced threats and even a break-in back in South Bend. But the rent for one bedrooms starts at $4,500 per month. It was less when the Buttigieg's signed a lease last winter. We're doing fine for ourselves, and yet the city is almost unaffordable, he added, while driving their Subaru Outback up I-395, which tells you how extremely unaffordable it is for many people. The transportation secretary's salary is $221,400. Now, the Post, by the way, has updated the piece. This is, I read you how it was, and now they've updated it. Let me read you the update. They chose the high-end building because of its location and security it offered. The couple has faced threats and even a break-in back in South Bend. Rent for currently available two bedrooms starts at $5,650, though Chasen says they got their one bedroom for closer to $3,000 by locking in a long lease that gave them 2 months rent free. Aha! Pretty substantial change from what it was. So now they're contending that $3,000 a month is unaffordable for someone making $220,000 a year. And maybe for some it is. Maybe for some it is. But they didn't have to. And here's the point. All the time, we're being told, all the time, you and I are being lectured by progressives that just because you can't get your first choice doesn't mean you're being discriminated against, doesn't mean you're being deprived, doesn't mean that you're not privileged. They couldn't get what they really wanted. They got a tiny apartment. They had to settle. And you know, life is about settling. Life is about settling, oftentimes. I wanted a particular vehicle. And I thought I was able to get the particular vehicle, and it turns out that due to the microchip shortage, I'm not going to be able to get the particular vehicle I wanted. I'm going to have to settle for something. I really wanted the other thing, but I'll probably go with it. I'll settle. I'm not being punished. It's just the way life works. To be venting to the Washington Post that your rent's too high because you chose to live in this apartment in this location with the security of that building, as opposed to, I don't know, commuting? What would it be for the Secretary of Transportation to have to ride the train into the office instead of being able to ride his bike? I find the whole thing ridiculous. And yet here we are, wondering about the Secretary of Transportation's living arrangements and whether or not it's too expensive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All because they made a choice to live somewhere and then complain about how expensive it is in that particular location. We know there are a ton of poor people who live in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is an expensive place to live. But my goodness gracious, who cares? And yet, it's the sort of thing that's got people all riled up in Washington, D.C. I'll tell you what should have them riled up in Washington, D.C. There's a writer whose work I genuinely appreciate. He is very thoughtful in how he covers things. His name is John Ellis. He worked for the Bush administration. You'll hear his name more and more. He's got, a podcast out. He's got a newsletter I subscribe to. And he put something on Medium.com. Four Illusions. And John Ellis was a data guy for Bush. I think he worked for Fox for a while too. But John Ellis is a data guy. And illusion number one, he says, he's writing about people's illusions of things. And the first illusion is that Joe Biden is not too old. I want to say something, and I do not mean to offend anyone, including my parents. Was having a conversation with a friend of mine a while back. And he said, slowly but surely, there will come a moment in your life. It will happen mostly by surprise observation, unexpectedly. You will realize your parents have reached an age where they can't take care of themselves like they used to. That you will see your parents age, but old age will hit at a particular moment. You will more than likely realize the event at which you realized, I got to step it up with my parents. Because at some point when people age, they slow down. And at some point in slowing down, it's not just their body, but their mind. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's part of aging. And you shouldn't be dismissive of it. But a lot of people are dismissive of Joe Biden's age. And John Ellis writes this: it is an illusion to say Joe Biden is not too old. People who have been around American politics for a long time know Joe Biden well. The eldest among them have known Joe Biden for nearly five decades. What they will tell you is that he didn't seem to age during his two terms as vice president. If you look at video of Biden 2006 and Biden of 2008, you're taken by how little he appears to have aged. Biden at 74 seems every bit as alert and physically vigorous as Biden at 66. That's no longer the case. Somewhere along the way of the last few years, Biden transitioned from young old to old. Veteran reporters describe it in code. He's lost a step or two, or he's lost something off his fastball. You're not supposed to talk about it. If you do and you're a Democrat, you're scolded for aiding and abetting the enemy. If you do and you're a Republican, or God forbid, a MAGA voter, you're a horrible hate monger trying to overturn the results of a free and fair election, and you probably watch Fox News. The problem is it's there for everybody to see. Pretending not to see it is untenable. It's a bit like being the first car in a line of cars at a stoplight and pretending the light hasn't turned green. Eventually, the cars behind you start to honk. It's also an illusion to say Kamala Harris has what it takes. The widely shared assessment of Kamala Harris's performance so far as vice president has come in code. She's not ready for prime time. She needs to step up her game, and she's off to a rocky start. Few, if any, of the political cognoscenti think she is of presidential timber and or capable of winning the 2024 presidential election. These two truths, Biden is old and Harris isn't ready, haunt Democrats and their media allies. When they imagine the 2024 presidential election without Biden or Harris, they notice something else. There's no bench. Gavin Newsom? No. Andrew Cuomo? No. Tim Kaine? No. There's a long list of superb military officers who would be formidable and admirable candidates, but the chances of a Democratic convention nominating, say, Admiral William McRaven are similar to my chances of buying the winning $1 billion Powerball lottery. And while that's happening, it's also an illusion to conclude that Donald Trump is done. He remains the frontrunner for the 2024 GOP presidential nomination. Republicans elected officials at the federal, state, local level, they all genuflect at the mention of his name. Would-be rivals pledge their allegiance, and not just to Trump's populism, but to Trump personally. And then there's Fox News. The 2024 presidential nominee campaign will happen on Fox News. It will happen on right-wing talk radio and on right-wing websites and in right-wing chat rooms. But Fox will frame the choice, controlling who gets exposure, in what time slots, and who sets the agenda. Those decisions are driven by one consideration and one consideration only. Does it rate? Trump rates. The others don't. End of story. Unless anyone thinks that Fox will ignore the ratings, turn on Trump, and do what it can to bring for the next forward the next generation of GOP leaders, please call me and I will sell you my winning Powerball ticket for $1 million. And the last illusion is that Trump can't win. And this is one where we should ponder for just a moment. You know, when the Democrats came forward, Larry Summers said if they keep their big spending, inflation's going to happen. And inflation is going to wreck the Democratic campaign. Celinda Lake, Joe Biden's own pollster, is starting to privately warn Democrats. This is going to be a serious problem. This is going to be a disaster for the Democrats. Inflation could bring Donald Trump back. And the Democrats aren't prepared for that. In fact, the Democrats are right now taking two tactics. One is to say that all Republicans everywhere support authoritarianism and the end of our democracy and look at January 6th. The other is that the Republicans are automatically suppressing the vote. In fact, there is a story out with a lot of hand-wringing right now about the Democrats blaming preemptively voter suppression. We're effed. That's the headline. We're effed. Dems fear turnout catastrophe from GOP voting laws. From Atlanta, this is Politico. After Georgia Republicans passed a restrictive voting law in March, Democrats here began doing the math. The state's new voter ID requirement for mail-in ballots could affect 270,000 Georgians lacking identification. The provision cutting the number of ballot drop boxes could affect hundreds of thousands of voters who cast absentee ballots that way in 2020. And that's just in the Atlanta suburbs alone. It didn't take long before the implications became clear to party officials and voting rights activists. In a state that Joe Biden carried by fewer than 12,000 votes last year, the new law stood to wipe out many of the party's hard-fought gains and put them at a decisive disadvantage. Wow. You know, the drop boxes were only around last year because of the pandemic. And most black voters in Georgia have a photo ID. The idea that this stuff is going to hurt the Democrats is preemptive mythology. Listen, they know history. And the history is that the party out of the White House in the midterm elections tends to do well. And one of the reasons Republicans are going to do so well this coming year is because the Democrats have lost their freaking minds. The Democrats want boys to go in your daughter's bathroom. They want to defund your police. They say the gun's the problem, not the criminal. They want to woke up your classrooms and tell your white kids they're permanently oppressors. Your black kids, they're always oppressed, and their oppression is the white kids' fault. And the Democrats are going to face a backlash from voters, and what they're going to do is say, no, we didn't lose because we lost our minds. We lost because Republicans suppressed voters. It won't be true. But it's what they will tell themselves at night to both explain their loss and never have to admit they went too far left. And you know what? I'm fine with that, because as long as they internalize this nonsense, they will keep losing badly to Republicans as 2024 beckons. Hello there. I should like to endorse a piece by Jared Dieterle at National Review. I think this is important. Americans, he writes, can be forgiven for being confused. In many places, you can now get a margarita delivered to your door from the local Mexican restaurant. The brewery down the street can drop off a growler. You can get a bottle of wine in your weekly Instacart order. But if you try to order a bottle of bourbon, it suddenly all goes awry. Americans on both the left and right are tired of our nation's hopefully convoluted alcohol laws. COVID-19 has ushered in an era of unprecedented boozy deliveries dropped off doorsteps, but the revolution is far from complete. Over 40 states allow wineries to mail their wine to consumers, but only a handful of states allow distilleries and breweries to do so. It's a nonsensical distinction that does more harm that confuses consumers and creates arbitrary winners and losers in the marketplace. Unsurprisingly, consumers are becoming increasingly vocal. The Distilled Spirits Council has released a survey. 80% of Americans think distilleries should be permitted to ship liquor to consumers' doorsteps. I got to tell you, there is a website I have long used here in Georgia called Caskers. Caskers.com. It's a great website. And you can go, and they have like very rare, hard to find bourbons. They got a lot of popular stuff as well. You can break it down by what do you want: whiskey, vodka, tequila, gin, rum, or others. The whiskeys, they got bourbon, moonshine, rye, scotch, Irish whiskeys, Japanese whiskeys. And I used to be able to order from them and get it shipped to my house. And now suddenly I tried it. It says we're not allowed to ship to Georgia. Why? Georgia's been liberalizing all these laws, and suddenly they're cracking down on shipping alcohol to the state of Georgia. Is just ridiculous. It's stupid. There's no reason for you will allow a wine to show up, but not a bottle of Jefferson's Reserve. Is just ridiculous. It is definitely time. But you know, the Prohibition Amendment, the 21st, the repeal amendment allows the states to be the ones to control it. And so every state gets to decide for themselves. And I find it ridiculous that my state is stuck in the dark ages when it comes to this stuff. And so many others are. It's time to up these states' games because, you know, I would kind of like to be able to order a bottle of bourbon online, and they won't let me do it in the state of Georgia. It's just ridiculous silliness.